Bienvenidos. Welcome to Del Taco al Tango. Hi, JP.
Hi, Liliana. How are you doing?
I'm fine. We have a guest here.
Yes, we do.
He's from Venezuela. Camilo, hi, how are you?
Hi, how you doing, guys? How are you?
We're fine.
That's great.
Camilo, you're from Maracaibo, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's where I come from.
Where's Maracaibo?
Well, Maracaibo is on the west side of Venezuela.
Oh?
West side. It's supposed to be the second biggest city in the country.
Are you any kind of rivals with Caracas?
Well, it's a huge rival. I mean, because it's the second biggest city compared to like the biggest one, which is the capital. And honestly, we cannot stand people from Caracas. They cannot stand us. It's a big rival.
There's a big fight there.
There's a big fight. I mean, well, at the end, we're all Venezuelans. So whenever it comes to baseball or any other hobbies, I mean, we'll always, you know, support the team together. But I mean, if you go to Caracas, you're going to have the hardest time if you say you're from Maracaibo than any other part of in the country.
All and right. Do you speak different than people from Maracas or the rest of Venezuela?
Well, totally, totally. I mean, actually, one of the most important points is that we speak as Spanish people do, you know, boss. We use boss a lot. And also the endings for the birds are also como, I'm going to give you an example, for instance. Like, okay. We always say, vos sabéis.
So that's vos, you know.
You know, vos queréis.
Right. Now, usually when I'm speaking Spanish, I would probably say, tú sabes o tú quieres.
Yes.
Exactly, but nobody talks like that in my country.
No,
that would be
like
extra weird. Actually, people will come to you and say, what are you from Caracas now? I mean, you're not even Maracuchan anymore.
Oh,
so,
okay.
You know?
What
Maracuchan,
is that?
Maracuchan. What
yeah.
is
Maracucho. Maracucho. It's the way they call us. It's actually pretty funny because in Chile, they call gay people like maracos.
Maracos. Maracos. Like the maracas,
like
right?
Like the maracas, exactly.
Like the instrument that...
Oh, that you shake, yeah.
Yes,
so
yes.
When I go to Chile and I say I'm from Maracaibo, they're like, what? You're from gay land or something? So Chilean people give me a hard time, you know, for me being coming from Maracaibo. But anyway.
Now, is Maracaibo on the coast?
It's right on the coast. Maracaibo, the reason why it's the second biggest city in the country is because we have a big oil influence. And because of that, we also had a lot of American influence, too. Because in 1920, we had the oil was discovered for the first time.
Right.
And then we didn't have the technology to make the exploitation for it. American people were so close that they came and they settled all these camps to take care of the whole oil process.
I see.
So that makes also a very special region because at the same time we also had a big American idiotism, is that how you call it? Idiotism?
Slang.
Culture.
Oh, slang, yeah, okay.
So basically you have a lot of influence from the Americans, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of slang would you say that you still use?
Well, one of the most popular ones are related to baseball. Baseball is the biggest sport in my country, and it had a lot to do with the fact that American people came around 1930, 1940, you know. So we have a very popular one. I love it. We always say, no te hagas el Willie May.
So don't quit doing the Willie May.
Yeah, Willie May is a baseball player.
Right. I think Willie Mays.
Willie Mays.
Now, what does it mean? No te hagas la Willie May.
Well, it means Willie Mays is a very good baseball player, but
Absolutely.
It was popular because when he struck out, he didn't leave the place. He stayed there pretending not to be struck out.
Oh.
So it means that when people call you, no, that guy had Willie May, it means, don't pretend like we don't know what you're trying to do, you know?
Oh, okay. Maybe nobody saw that you struck out.
No, it's like probably you did something, you think people didn't find out, but when people come to you and say, no, that guy had Willie May, it means we know what you're into,
yeah,
you know what you're doing, all right?
So, Willie May.
Exactly.
Okay, that's pretty interesting.
And that's among a lot of them. There's a very popular one. You have the guards that take care of the cars. We call it Huachimán, for instance.
Huachimán.
Huachimán.
No,
what's
I don't
that?
Have no idea what that is.
Well, that comes from Watchmen.
Watchmen. Oh, so the...
Okay, so Huachimán.
Huachimán.
Is Watchman.
It's the guard.
It's the watchman. It's the watchman, exactly.
Okay.
It's the guard. Okay. Yeah.
Watchman.
Watchman.
In fact, I know that you have ones for jeans, right?
Well, yes.
For jeans?
This is pretty funny because, of course, there's not a translation for jeans. You know?
So how do you say
and the
jeans?
Most popular kind of jean is a blue jean.
Right.
Those are the most popular ones.
Absolutely.
So for us, we think that jeans are blue jeans. You know?
Okay.
So let's say, like, if I look at you and I say, hey, me gusta mucho ese blue jean negro que tienes puesto.
I really like those black blue jeans you're wearing.
Exactly. So jeans are blue jeans. You know, for us, it doesn't make the difference. People don't even know how you spell it. They don't even know it's made of two words, you know. So
that's funny. Us in Mexico, we do have a translation for jeans.
How do you say it?
We call it pantalón de mezclilla.
Pantalón de mezclilla.
Yes.
Now that sounds extra Mexican to me.
Yes.
Mezclilla. I've never heard of that.
Mezclilla, well, that's the fabric.
Okay.
Well, in fact,
so denim.
Yes, denim. Exactly.
Yeah,
but that's a translation.
But then nobody will use it. You know, like, for, like in Maracay, people will be like, what?
What is
blue jeans.
That?
What are blue jeans?
No. Blue jeans.
It's kind of long, though. Pantalones de mezclilla, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so do you have any other slang? Because I know that we share one.
Well, there is one really popular. Everybody in Maracaibo, I mean, as you guys can notice, I'm emphasizing a lot in Maracaibo because that's where I come from.
Right.
So it's a good chance for me to talk about the way we talk. We have one that is really popular. Everybody uses it. It's called que molleja.
Que molleja.
Que molleja. And it's used for everything, you know, like every time you're surprised about something, every time you're happy, every time something calls your attention, if you see something that is, you know, like really amazing,
and
you're like, yeah, and they have no translation. Actually, the only related word that comes to my mind is molleja is a special part of a chicken.
No, it's in fact the liver of the chicken.
It's a liver.
Chicken liver.
Chicken liver.
Yeah.
That's a molleja. In fact, you eat them, you know. So basically what he's saying is what chicken liver.
What chicken liver, exactly.
So is it a good thing or a bad thing?
It is just...
A surprising
expression, you know, and it's extra popular.
Que molleja!
You said it in Mexico too.
No, in Mexico we don't share this.
Oh,
in fact,
okay.
I know that they share because, as you can hear, guys, Camilo, he speaks really fast.
He does. He's Venezolano.
Yeah, he's Venezolano, right? So anyway, I was talking to him and I was telling him, please don't speak as fast. And he told me, you know, my dad, he always tells me, sácate la papa de la boca.
So why don't you take that potato out of your mouth?
Yes. And that, in fact, we share it in Mexico.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. But in Mexico, we say that someone talks with la papa en la boca.
With a potato in their mouth.
Yes, when she's a fresa.
Okay, so when she's like a princess.
Yeah, like a strawberry, right? That's the actual translation, but that means that she's like a little snobbish and she would talk like, bah, 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 like this way.
So. And so that's the way a fresa talks.
Yeah. So, but in Venezuela, is it that, like a snobbish person is talking, or is it more someone that speaks very fast?
Yeah, I have a lot to do with people that when people are talking to you, you don't understand. You're sacate la papa la boca, pues no te entiendo nada.
Anything you're saying.
What are you saying to me? I don't get it.
So
you know?
It's just somebody that doesn't understand.
Okay, but you are going to let me talk at least for like 5 seconds, the way we do it back in Maracaibo, okay?
All right, let's hear it.
Bueno, porque te lo quiero decir para que sepas. Aquí vas a estar y vamos a gozar y la vas a pasar al pelo porque estás en Maracaibo. Es el lugar donde se escucha la gaita, se goza bien y lo vamos a pasar chévere porque vos y yo vamos a estar aquí para que lo sepáis.
Oh, my God. Okay, that we will translate it online.
We'll have to stop.
That's the way we talk. We're really fast. We use the bus a lot. Sepai, we're really happy all the time, making jokes. And actually, if you come to Venezuela, that will be the hardest part for you to get used to. People get into confidence so fast that it might be a little like, I don't know how to describe it. It would be intimidating for people.
A little shocking,
yeah. A little shocking.
Especially Americans are so, you know, we think we're not reserved, but compared to Venezolanos.
Yeah, but not only that, but then we have all that slam.
Compared to Mexicans, you know? Even I am like, okay, we're very different.
Let's slow down a little bit, but that's...
But we're not trying to make you feel bad or anything. It's actually a way to show you that you're welcome.
Okay, I have another question for you. I know that Venezuela has the record of Miss Universe in the history. Why is that? Are they just beautiful or are they using a lot of plastic surgery or something?
Well, there is actually a combination of both of them. I'm going to have to explain you the historical reason. Historical reason has a lot to do with the fact that Venezuela have a very strategic geographic position.
Right.
And we have the mix that every other Latin American country does, but in a larger amount, right? Of course, we have Indians that were there way back.
Right, the indigenous.
We have the black people that came with the colonization process.
Absolutely.
And then we have the European people. In the last century, 1920, 1930, 1940, we had a lot of German community coming into our country. It was a perfect place to make business. I mean, we're right there in the Caribbean Sea.
Right.
So we have all these really beautiful mixes of European people with local people. Mm-hmm. Right? So that explains, I mean, we have a very exotic beauty.
Yes.
Well, that is combined to the fact that we are in the Caribbean. It's really hot. Like 75% of the people in Venezuela live right there on the coast.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really hot. People wear really few clothes.
Yeah, you can't wear a lot of clothes when it's hot outside.
Exactly. So that makes you like look good. I mean, you want to go to the gym, you want to be looking good. And of course, I mean, I'm gonna have to give you the real reason. I mean, there is a whole industry behind this. We have a natural beauty that is combined to a huge industry of making beauty.
Really? But for example, in your group of friends, do you see a lot of them that have plastic surgery?
Well, out of my 10 friends, let's say if I take a sample of 10 friends of mine that are girls, eight we have.
Oh plastic my surgery. God.
Seems like a high number to me.
That is very high.
Are we talking about nose jobs or?
Lolas.
Oh, Lolas. All right, so these are boob jobs.
Boob jobs.
Lolas.
Yeah, Lola.
You call them Lolas? Yeah. Oh my God.
Come on, you call it boobies. So, I mean, we have every kind of different words here.
All right, I have to ask, how do you say boob job in Spanish? Because I have no idea.
Boob job, that would be hacerse las lolas.
Okay. So you have to get the boobs done.
Se la hizo, pues. No. La Lola.
But that is in Venezuela, okay? In the rest of Latin America world, I mean, you would say cirugía del busto.
Okay, so bust surgery.
Come on, that's what you find on the books. Real maracuchan style.
Yeah, that's true. That's
se hizo las lolas, se las hizo. So.
Yeah, but you're gonna go. But you're not gonna go with the doctor and say, you know, make my lolas. Like, you don't say that.
No, maybe not.
Okay, enough with that lolas.
Yes, Liliana.
Okay. And what about food?
What is Venezuelan
food?
Well,
that's actually a pretty easy question. Everybody around the continent knows that we have a very popular dish that's called arepas.
Arepas.
And we stuff it with any kind of thing.
Right. Now, that's a stuffed... Is it a tortilla or...?
It's made of corn...
Dough?
Masa. So it's like a...
Masa.
No sé cómo se llama. Como una masa. Masa de, yeah, masa de maíz.
So is it like a tortilla? Or no, is it like a tamal?
No.
No? How's
like a pupusa.
I don't know pupusas. I've heard of them before.
It's like an empanada, in fact.
Made out of masa. So what shape is it?
It's corn. It's a corn. Harina de maíz. So
yeah, corn.
Corn dough.
Corn dough, exactly. Well, it's around, let's say it's a radio diameter, gonna be average around 10 centimeters.
10 centimeters. Okay, so pretty
and then
good size.
You open on the middle, and the good thing about arepas is that you can stuff any kind of thing inside. There's another one we call rumbera.
Rumbera, the rumba dancer.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's the most popular among people that goes party and then goes eat around 2 or 3 in
okay,
the morning.
Okay, so this is munchy food.
And it's made of pernil.
Pernil, how do you say that? Celery?
No, pernil is pork leg.
Okay, guys, now I'm getting hungry, but before I go, I just want to thank Camilo. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Camilo.
My pleasure.
Okay, guys, hasta luego.
Hasta luego.
Ciao.